If love is the theme, then I guess Reverend Edward started out with his affirmation that love is all. Was that what it was, Edward? And if we make a commitment to love, then not for all we know, but you can expect that love is a quality. If you make a commitment to love, that it is something that will grow in your life, and it is something that you want to live your life according to. Because anything else really won't get you what you want. Love, as defined in the book that we often rely on, does anyone know what the definition is in the first row?
The self-givingness of spirit.
Right, you are, wise one. Thank you, Deborah. Love is the self-givingness of spirit. And that also means then, therefore, love has shown up as life everywhere, created out of nothing but idea, that the whole cosmos is in existence as an expression of love, and we are part of that expression of love. We are part of the creation from the mind of Creator. And we too have the opportunity to be the same self-givingness. And so what is it of yourself that you are giving into this world? That's going to be different for every single person. And that is the blessing, and that's the good news, that it doesn't have to look like one thing in particular that may have been true in the world that you and I were born into, and it doesn't seem to be as oppressive as it used to be. And that is a great blessing of freedom, that we do get to choose who we are going to be and how we are going to go through life, to find success for ourselves, to choose whom we love, where to live, give expression to that which delights our heart. These are all important things, and the ability to do such a thing is what makes us different from the whole rest of creation. There is no other creature, as far as we know, that gets to make choices, that gets to start stuff and stop stuff, come up with original ideas and bring them into reality. You're it. As Shakespeare called mankind, the paragon of animals, the beauty of the earth. And so here you are today. By definition, if you are here, you are blessed beyond the imagining of people even three generations ago, of the amount of opportunity and the great ease and the wealth that we have. And so what will we do with it? As Quakers would say, how then shall we live? In love, and in creativity, because that's what you get to do. Now, as I started, we have great freedom, enormous opportunity, even though if you believe certain things that you see and read, you might think that this is a time of collapsing opportunity, but it's also a moment of great opening. For every week, there's something to comment on every single week about how remarkable the world is changing. Last week, I mentioned that the owners of the Washington Post had thrown in the towel because they didn't know what to do anymore. Steve Ballmer, who is the head of Microsoft, gave up the ghost this week and basically because he didn't know what to do anymore, to how to run a company like Microsoft. And I guess it was kind of embarrassing that the stock just went up immediately as soon as he said he was retiring. Talk about feedback. Yeah. All right, so 47 million people are thrilled I'm out of here. Wow. Oh, well. But somebody else has another idea. And if your life hasn't been working, bless you, if your life hasn't been working the way you want it to, you might as well stop trying to make it work that way. You might as well be who you want to be. Why we are here as a group, and if this is your first time, please know that you are so welcome. I do trust this will be a memorable day in the relationship of the friends that you have that are here, as well as in the unfolding of your soul's journey. But we're here to unburden humanity from the oppression of religious superstition and to talk about the way things really are in this order. The word cosmos actually means order. All things unfolding, seemingly with ease and grace. And so your life can too, because you're part of that creation. There are many ways that we address this topic of being a gracious and effective and creative human being, and sometimes we go from idea to idea or from book to book. The book that I'm relying on this summer is this wonderful book, Three Simple Steps. Simple but not easy. But steps to help every one of us not only be at the threshold of our opportunities, but to cross it and to be a part of the new world of our own creation. How do you do that? Control your mental environment. Very simple, and one of the most demanding and exacting disciplines for any adult, to control your mental environment, to really be aware, as Dr. Walker used to say, what am I thinking? Actually, what am I thinking? It's easy to monitor ourselves when we speak things aloud, because that's a couple of senses going on, but what are you really thinking minute by minute when you listen to the news, when you're driving in your car, when you're observing things? What are you thinking? Are you using your critical capacities to understanding even the message that's being given to you is a selected one, it's a chosen one, and it's not really the way things are? It is a story that keeps being passed forward. If you don't like the story, you get to make up a new one. There's a teacher in the South named Edwin Gaines. I don't know if anybody knows her here. But Edwin Gaines used to always write after her name, like initials, so she had a degree, MSU. And someone said, Edwin, what does MSU mean? And she says, make stuff up. The stuff you make up is, this is a veil of tears, or this is an unbelievable opportunity. You get to choose. And even if we choose to be a part of a world which may feel like simplistic positive thinking, we get it. It's not about being in denial that there aren't really serious challenges, but every opportunity, every moment, is an opportunity to bring your best self to it and say, how do I want to react to this? And what positive charge am I going to put into it? Because that is what I want to experience out of my life, not your sad story. And there are sad stories. But to know that things are always possible, even when our own particular lives are accompanied by great challenge or real difficulty, it is always true that the world we live in is a beautiful place and that there are good people everywhere. That is never not true. A good people everywhere right now, and there are good people that have gone before us. Cannot not be aware that this is the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, the great gift of many people who helped create that experience, Dr. King being most known to us. I am personally very grateful that the White House just last week announced who the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom will be this year, and one is a posthumous award to Bayard Rustin, who now people are saying that the March on Washington would not have happened if it had not been for Bayard Rustin. He was a protege of A. Philip Randolph. And he was out as a gay man, a black gay man, in 1963, so he wasn't allowed any visible part in the March on Washington. But he's been given this recognition by the White House because historically this is the one guy that really made it happen. And I don't even know how you would organize a march of 250,000 people without Facebook anymore. But I guess it's by going church to church and sending 100,000 letters and making 100,000 phone calls. And Bayard Rustin actually was very formative on Dr. King's philosophy because he, by happenstance, was raised Quaker in Philadelphia in the early part of the 20th century. He is one that has gone before us. Dr. King is one that has gone before us. There are oh so many people that have placed us at this threshold. And we've been given the operating instructions about how life really works. What is it that I have to do if I'm going to be happy? A, stop believing that life is so awful and that you're unhappy. Make the choice. Abraham Lincoln wrote, most folks are about as happy as they make up their mind to be. Does it mean that life is easy and without flaw? No. But it's a choice to be happy. And once you have that kind of control about your mental environment and you realize, as we talk about week after week for the last 120 years, when you realize, or if you're Buddhist for the last 3,000 years, when you realize that your thought creates your experience, and if something's happening in your life that you don't feel personally responsible for, you still have the opportunity to react to it in a particular way. To know that my thought is creative. My thought is creative. It is creating the next thing that is going to happen in my life. That is the second simple step. To really be aware of that and to put into your dream machine all the components that you then want to experience. And I guess we'll talk about implementing ideas for the month of September. We'll give ourselves to that third simple step. This is a spectacular opportunity to be human. And maybe every generation has felt this. I don't know. I assume so at this point. But what better time to be alive than right now? I'm making a choice by declaring that, you know. But it happens to be my experience. The outer world of my life just happens to have come into accord with my spiritual practice. That of all the things that are going on in the world, I get to be here with you. I get to talk about a truth that select folks have been speaking about for a very long time that allows you to be free in your life and to have every expectation that you should be healthy, and if you're not right this second, then you have a lively expectation that all shall be well. That when things are really sad and happening in your life, if someone might be on their way to their next experience, to know that that is their unfolding. And they are enfolded in love and unfolding in grace. And any other way of looking at life doesn't get you where you want to be, either in the short run or the long run. We can mourn the loss of friends, like most of us probably know that, you know, Julie Harris apparently died last night. And I read the obituary in the New York Times. And the last line in the obituary said that she was asked at some point, she said, if the world was going to end tomorrow, what would you do tonight? And she said, go to the theater. She was really clear on where her foothold was on this planet, where her joy was, and how she wanted to practice life as a person of the theater. We read this week that Linda Ronstadt has Parkinson's disease and can no longer sing. I find it shocking that a stoned pony could be a senior citizen. That's what's more alarming to me. But my God, when she was young, she sang loud and clear. And that's the only thing that really, really matters. So where are you? Who are you? Who are you right now? And what choice are you making? If someone said to you, if the world was going to end tomorrow, what would you do tonight? What's your greatest joy? That's a trick question, you know, because then that's what you should be doing with your life. You get that, right? Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that affirmation. But that's the way it works. What is it that you want to do, irrespective of your age? Whether you think you're too young or you're too old, you still are here, which means that there is work to do, there's joy to be experienced, and there's something to be created. Here is why we gather, for the purpose of relationship. Because, you know, all the smart stuff that's ever been said hasn't changed. There's nothing different in this book that, frankly, isn't in the Old Testament. In the book of Job, it says, you will decide on a matter, it will be established for you, and light will shine on your way. Pretty much, those are three simple steps. It's not that different than this. But every day is fresh for every one of us. And we have the opportunity to have relationship on this planet. Teilhard de Chardin says, the meaning of Earth is relationship. What do we offer each other here that is beyond price? And that is support. Beyond price. Because there's no amount of money actually that you can pay me to know the truth about you. Good psychotherapy is a gift forever when you have a healing experience, but you're paying a psychotherapist to give you unconditional positive regard. You're paying your beautician or your bartender to listen to you complain. That's the price of that relationship. What happens here? There is no price. You cannot pay me enough to know that ye are very God. But that is what I get to do, and that is what we get to do for each other. This is really worth it, this activity. And it's really great work. And that's what I do, and that's what our practitioners do, and that's what everybody who has the smallest understanding of what the truth is all about. This pearl of great price is our relationship. And to encourage you, without any sense of hesitation, about actualizing the dream that you might have. Let's not leave things in the realms of dreams anymore. If there's something that you want to do, please know that this is the day that the law has given us, and rejoice and be glad in it. And do what you want to do. Be who you want to be and be happy about it. Was it Howard Thurman that said the world doesn't need successful people? The world needs happy people. So choose what you want to do. Be really happy. And know that you have unlimited amounts of positive regard and spiritual and mental support. And that is available, and it is not a quantity that can ever run out, because that is what the mind of God is, as the vitality that is you. God bless you, friends.